welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. We're sitting here in beautiful northwest up in Oregon, where we're having really warm weather.
It's flash floods.
And flash floods that never happened. I mean, be ready, flash floods. It could happen anywhere, you know.
I was sitting in our office talking with our office manager, and she looked at her computer and was like, flash flood warning? What? Like, we just had 2 days of 90-degree weather. How are we going to flash flood?
Yeah, where's the rain coming from, man? Maybe that's it. Well, it's good. It's good to have you guys here with us this morning. I'm sitting here with Tuck and Aaron and myself, Rollin, and we're here to go over things with you. What's happening in today's world? How do we approach it? What kind of scriptures do we use to motivate us?
All of them.
To stay the course. I mean, man, we're having to be on target, right? What do we do? You know, so this week's Torah study, it begins with Numbers. And for some reason, I do not know why, but it starts with the counting of the warriors. Why does Numbers start with counting up who's ready to go to war?
How long do you have?
I know, right? I find that fascinating.
Well, one way to remember, as far as, I mean, for us English speakers, Numbers is convenient for us because that's what it seems to be about. Mm-hmm. But it's not Numbers, it's Bamidbar,
yes,
which is in the wilderness. So that has me, I have to ask myself, why now? It's because of where they were. They were in the wilderness. And so they are, this is Yahweh is doing the counting, mm-hmm, and he obviously knows this stuff already, yet he's counting for Moshe's sake, for Israel's sake.
But why start with warriors?
Well, because
even if I'm in the wilderness, what's so important about that?
He's taking them to a place where there's going to be warfare,
and
they need to know what they have to depend upon.
I like that description.
So,
who do we depend on?
Yeah,
Yahweh, we depend.
Yeah.
You know, it's and is this happening today? I mean, many of us are feeling like we're in a wilderness, right? I mean, our world's getting like flipped.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Good is bad and bad is good. Up is down and down is up.
One thing I was noticing as I was reading chapter 1.
Yeah.
There's a name missing.
Uh-oh.
And I was reading the names as I was going down there, and the first name is Reuben.
Uh-huh.
Second name is Simeon. Third name is Yehuda. Fourth name is Issachar.
Uh-huh.
And so on and so forth. Levi wasn't there.
Comes up later.
And then I realized, well, because Levi is the priest.
Uh-huh.
He's the ministry.
Uh-huh.
And he's not included in the warfare.
Interesting.
And so he was, I mean, I'm reading this, you know, I can remember back in the day when I first began studying, that was something that would not have occurred to me.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't paying attention to stuff. I was just reading.
Uh-huh.
And now that I'm aware of certain things, that's a concern that, and for those of us that are not in a warfare situation, or even thinking about that kind of thing, you wouldn't notice that kind of stuff.
Right.
Well, it's a serious thing. They were.
Uh-huh.
And they were, especially coming just out, not just, it's been a year and a month, because they're in the first day of the second month of the second year out of Egypt.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so they've been quote-unquote free for a little over a year now.
Uh-huh.
And so they're not slaves anymore, but they're still drilled into their system of being slaves, uh-huh, and not being free men, and not being, you know, free thinkers.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. It's like whenever stuff hits the fan, for our sakes, in our near future, what we think is our near future, do we know how to think this way? Do I know how to think this way?
Think this way meaning what?
Meaning warfare.
Yeah. You know, we're starting to see some of that even now. Let me give you an example that's happening right here in Oregon. You guys might have heard of it just yesterday at the Capitol here in Salem. We had a number of pastors who decided to stand against, which is kind of like warfare.
Yeah.
They weren't saying their political excuses. They were just going to the Capitol and saying, hey, you guys, there's a bill that you're trying to pass that we will not support. End of discussion. We're going to sign this declaration and say, nope, I don't care if it's passed or not. We, as pastors, will not support this when we're teaching our church or ministering to our church. Just don't count on us. And that's kind of, I mean, what do you think, Aaron? Is that kind of like warfare, or is that like?
Yeah, I think it's the first step in warfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to stand up and just make that declaration of, no, we're standing against that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then if that continues, then of course maybe there's other steps that would follow, of course. But yeah, I think that definitely is, you know, maybe step one, or maybe, I don't know, maybe even mm-hmm. step two or three down the road. If maybe, you know, step one is, you know, going in and having these conversations with the lawmakers themselves, or being a lawmaker yourself, you know. But I do think that the action that you're referring to that happened yesterday, mm-hmm. I think it is a part of warfare. Yeah.
Well, you like the American Revolution, and they finally said things like, "No, we're not paying any more taxes on tea, man."
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like what happened out of it. I don't like the fact that we had to go that route, but, you know, yeah, definitely.
It is seeming, you know, there's a lot of things happening in our world right now where people are actually deciding, hey, enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that with Bud Light. We've seen that with other sort of things where people are going, okay, you messed with my beer. That's enough. We're taking you down. Okay, you put a transgender woman on our beer can, and now you're suffering the consequences, which is, what, a 29% decrease in sales. Stocks are falling, and the company's going, oh, my goodness, we're in trouble.
No, actually, they're not saying that.
No, they aren't. So
they're not saying that.
So they're just hanging tight?
Yeah.
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 I mean, all the way to they may be the next Bed Bath and Beyond, and currently Bed Bath and Beyond is beyond. they filed bankruptcy completely on Sunday.
Isn't that what Buzz Lightyear said?
To infinity
and beyond.
Yeah. Yeah. Bud Light to infinity
and beyond
and beyond.
But I mean, so what caused this reaction? What caused the pastors here in the Salem area to make this stand to say, look, we're not doing it? It actually started with the Republican Party, because the Republican Party has felt like they aren't being heard at the level.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Yeah, right. they aren't being heard at the legislative process. So they've been walking out. They're saying, okay, enough's enough. You don't like what we have to say, so forget it.
Yeah.
And this bill, just to let people know, has been pretty quiet. And in fact, when I got on to look for this bill, to find descriptions of it, it was very hard to find. And it's very hard to read. There's a lot of commentary from people that are on the left side, and they're just bemoaning the fact that Republicans are all idiots and they don't understand the bill for this thing. And it was just hard to get a clean, concise summary.
This is what it says.
This is what it says.
Yeah.
So we're going to muddle through some of this here today for you. Not a lot, but we want to inspire you that maybe now's the time that we do have to wake up and quit sleeping as a body of believers and say, what is going on in our state? Oregon, as you know, is run by a governor who is passionately against Christianity and its belief systems or anything within the Bible.
Well, it's the same with the previous governor.
Oh, yeah. Totally against it. But this bill has to do with allowing children to have full access to reproductive rights, quote, which means abortion, and to have gender-affirming care quote, which actually mean we're going to transition you from your one gender to another
right.
gender in any way that we can.
From the gender that God gave you at birth, that Yahweh gave you at birth, to one of the, I don't know what the number is, 842 genders? I mean, I don't know what number we're at this point. But.
You know, but the funny thing is, there's that, Aaron, here we live in America. Most Americans could care less what adults do. I mean, they really don't care.
Right.
When you want to do in your thing, like, Aaron, if you want to walk out there and wear a dress while you garden, they would say, go ahead.
Right. It's your choice. Right.
It's your property.
Right.
Just don't come on my land.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
I will talk to you from a distance.
Yeah. You know, or not talk to you from a distance. Yeah. Right.
But it's, things change when they tell that you're actually going to change body parts on a child.
Yeah.
Who right now, under current law, can't get a tattoo without a parent permission.
Mm-hmm.
They got to get permissions to leave school.
Yeah.
If they want to go on a family vacation.
Well, and they are so immature and so uneducated that they can't get a gun until they're 22.
Even though they can go in the army at 18 and 19. Yeah. It blows my mind, right?
Well, I'm going to give them responsibility to make gender change.
Yeah.
Yeah, which changes their life forever.
Yeah.
Okay? So this bill, HB 2002, get to know this, HB 2002 here in Oregon, is going to be allowing children at age 15 and up to go ahead and get abortions or transgender reassignment happening without parental permission. That seems pretty amazing. Now, how it's written, though, you kind of get this idea that it can even go...
By a four-year-old. It's written by a four-year-old.
Right. I think that it's not.
You just happen to be a lawyer.
This is one smart four-year-old. But it seems to even give the opinion that they can be down to age 10, okay? And this is what some of the lawyers are actually saying. In fact, I'll read this to you. This was a question that came up during Oregon Legislators Ways and Means Committee in mid-April. Lawmakers were discussing HB 2002 when the matter of parental notification came up. The question came from Senator Republican Leader Tom Knope, directed at a member of the Legislative Council's office. Okay? He asked this question.
That's not an elected position.
Correct.
Yeah.
So in this bill, at what age can a child make the determination on their own without parental consent to have an abortion? That's his question. Here's the answer. Under the current law, it's not entirely clear what age a minor can make the determination to have an abortion without parental consent. That's what the lawyer said. So the lawyer said, well, however, it's a minor of any age can make that determination. So Nope did a follow-up question. So a 10-year-old can make that decision on their own then? The lawyer responded, yes, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, for one, how is a kid of that age even going to understand and know what that is? I mean, really, right?
I know, right?
Most adults don't even know what that is.
And so imagine you're the parent at home, and there's going to be a major – that's a major surgery.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a major thing that's going on mm-hmm. in your child's life.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have to tell you.
No.
Who's going to pay for it?
Well, that's my question, right?
Oh, it's actually paid for by the state of Oregon. The state of Oregon, who raises all of its own money, will pay for that.
Who again, Aaron, is going to pay for that?
The state of Oregon.
Yeah.
No.
It's the state of Oregon. It's free.
No,
it's free.
Now, what's amazing here, according to the rules of warfare, usually things have to be stated out loud of what's actually going on. But the Republicans aren't so mad about what's in the bill. It's mostly about how you can't read the bill. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, it hasn't passed yet, Roland. Why would you want to read it? It hasn't passed yet.
Right? Well, there's this standard that they use for bill readability, okay? And you have to have at least a minimum score of 60 out of 100 to be a good bill.
Okay, time out right there. You were a school teacher.
Yeah.
If you got a 60 on a final paper, what grade would you put on that?
That's a D.
Yeah. Well,
that's
wow.
I think that would be enough.
It's like a D minus. Yeah. It's right in that area.
Yeah. Okay. So just to be able to minimally clear this, you get a D.
Right.
It'd be a D paper. The bill would be a D paper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you want to know what the readability level is on this after the score?
I don't know that I want to, actually, the way you're setting it up.
It's not 50.
So it's an F.
Yeah, it's below an F.
Oh, it's below an F.
So it ain't 40. Not 30. It'd be 20.
20% out of 100.
20%. And granted, dude, I was reading this bill, okay, because I was determined to get to know what this bill said today just for this morning.
Right.
And I kept looking at it, and I scratched my head, and I was getting a headache last night. And I thought, why am I not understanding this thing?
Have I been drinking too much wine or something?
Have I been drinking too much? He was like going around in circles, and one line couldn't mean what the other line was meaning. I was going, what is this about? And then I finally read the score. That's cool. Well, no.
That one's clear.
Pretty clear. So, anyways.
It's as clear as mud at the bottom of the Mariana Trench.
So the question arises, when do you as a believer start to make a stand and say, no more? I mean, it seems like parents should have full authority.
Yeah.
To actually make a determination.
Well, Roland, see, here's where you're wrong.
Uh-oh.
Because you are under the assumption that your children are yours.
Oh, I know, right?
See, that's where you're wrong. Yeah. Your children are not yours.
They belong to the state.
Right. You just conceived them, birthed them, raised them, paid for them, taught them, but they're not yours.
Not yours. Kind of like house owners. Your house really isn't yours. If they decide to want to take it, they just say
it's ours now. Yeah,
it's ours. Wow.
We have determined that due to the reasons that we have pre-subscribed on our own, that your house is now ours.
You can't. Yeah, you got to ask to cut trees. You got to do all these sorts of things. It's just amazing.
Oh wait, I was supposed to ask for the trees I cut.
Don't tell anyone.
I did.
You can't even save the water that comes off your roof.
I don't do that.
Well, if you chose to, you couldn't.
I don't. I wouldn't choose to do that. Why would I do that? It's not my water.
So the point is this. When are we going to stand up as believers, and how do we start standing up?
Yeah.
I love the start of Numbers, the book of Numbers, Bamidbar, because it isn't just like Tuck said, it's not necessarily about Numbers. It's about our time in the wilderness. But the book starts off with this whole idea of being counted. So I want to start with at the beginning. Okay, so let's read verses 1 right at the very start and go down to 2. All right? And in fact, the title of this book says, The Census of Israel's Warriors. That's how it starts off. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tent of meeting, on the first of the second month, in the second year, after they'd come out of the land of Egypt, saying this, Take a census of all the congregation of the sons of Israel, by their families, by their fathers' households, according to the number of names, every male, head by head, from 20 years old and upward, whoever is able to go out to war in Israel, you and Aaron shall number them by their armies. Let's just stop there. That to me is amazing, okay? Number one, why not count them on the first year? Why the second year? That's amazing to me. Is it because they're not ready?
Yeah.
A combination of a lot of things that mostly that, in my opinion, that they need to establish who they are. They've been slaves for...
A long time.
Yeah, you know, a long time, 210 to 400 mm-hmm. years. And they've not known how to be free. They've not known how to think for themselves. And so now all of a sudden they're, you know, in a wide open desert wilderness
mm-hmm.
and learning how to think for themselves, talking to the Creator God.
Mm-hmm.
And that in and of itself would be a mind-blowing experience for me, talking to the Creator of the world.
Okay, but what happened in the first year? What's developing? And I think this idea, whenever we have to stand up and be a warrior, we have to establish some sort of belief in our commander, right? That he's trustworthy, that he's worthy of our following him.
Well, that his rules make sense.
His rules make sense, yeah. So, when I see this on the second year, I'm going, okay, so we're pulled out of this belief system. Like, take, for instance, most people I'm meeting right now are going, well, America's not the land that I thought it was. Our whole government's being turned upside down.
It's not the land that it was.
Right. So I'm thinking, okay, this is our wilderness moment to where we have to learn to start believing in someone else other than a government.
Yeah.
And our belief system now has to turn towards Yahweh God. So can we still learn to follow him by miracles he provides? I think answer probably yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here we are in the second year. Then it says, take a census of all the congregation of the sons of Israel by their families, by their father's households, according to the number of names. What's up with families? I mean, why not just say, hey, everyone that's 20 years old, okay, come on up, sign up.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. Okay, we're being numbered by these families.
Because that's the important unit.
Oh, the importance of the unit?
Yeah.
Because the symbol of a family or the character of a family or what?
Yeah, well I mean, one of people, I'm not spotting it here, but it said all that are able to go forth to war
mm-hmm.
in Israel. So you're not going to send out your adolescent kids to war.
No.
So I just wanted to know, okay, who are those who can be the warriors right now?
Does families, though, bring in a sense of pride? I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's kind of cool. That's our son out there, man. Way to go.
Yeah.
You know, and you bring heritage.
Mm-hmm.
You bring memories. You bring belief systems. You bring camaraderie. All those sorts of things. I represent Reuben.
Right.
I represent Simeon. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of important.
Well, this is one of the things I think that's truly important. And because we don't understand Hebraic words very mm-hmm. well, some of us are learning,
yep.
but most of us do not, even strong believers. And just looking at Reuben, of the tribe of the family of Reuben, Eleazar, the son of Shedeur, of Simeon, Shelemuel, the son of Zurishaddai. You look at those names, ending Shelemuel ends in El, mm-hmm. which is a reference to Yahweh, which mm-hmm. is a reference to God.
El.
Zurishaddai, which is a reference to Shaddai, which is a reference to Yahweh.
Adonai.
And so, Issachar, Nathanael, El. That's, you know, I mean, every name in there has some connection with Yahweh. I can remember when I first started reading this years ago, these were just names, and they're all right? Hard names to begin with. You know?
I know, you can't barely say it.
Yeah, and so, but now, after studying for so many years,
uh-huh.
you know that every single one of those is connected to Yahweh in some way.
Yeah. Hang on tight, we'll be right back.
Through the shadow of death, to the light.
No
know Abraham as the father of nations, but how does that include Great Britain and the United States? Stephen J. Spykerman weaves history and prophecy in his two-volume series, A Game-Changing Revelation. What is the ancestry that links America and Great Britain to Israel? Are they mentioned in the Bible? If so, where? Grab a volume for $20 or get both for $30. Challenge your perceptions with Spykerman. His research and experience may prove quite the game changer.
Check it out at HebrewNationOnline.com and click on the Marketplace link.
You're listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. And we're actually talking about standing up. We're in the book of Numbers, Bamidbar. And also we're talking about things that you're facing right now within your life. Many times we face things that are questionable and done and put on us by our government right here in Oregon. We're experiencing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
on many fronts, actually, but we're just focusing on one today.
Focusing on one is HB 2002, a bill that's being passed by the Democrat Party on making sure that children at age 15 or even younger can have abortions, they can have gender reassignments, all those things done to them without parental permission. And that's the point that we're trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
Whose children are they? Do they actually belong to the government, or do they actually belong to parents?
Need to remind everybody that it's not just permission, it's awareness. The parents aren't even told.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tucker.
Yeah.
That's the biggie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a problem.
Yeah, that is a problem.
That's a big problem. So where are we on this? Do we just kind of let it go? There were 20 pastors.
We're church people. We don't get involved in politics.
I know, right?
We let the politicians do the politics, and we do the church stuff. Well, separation of church and state, Roland.
Which is nice, because that's what I heard about yesterday. Yesterday, Monday, there was about 20 pastors who went down to sign a declaration, to not get involved necessarily with politics, but to say they were not going to support the bill.
Yeah.
So if the bill passes, fine. Don't expect support from us in any of our churches, any of our teachings, any of those things that go on. So it was kind of like a warning.
Yeah.
You know, this is a line that's gone too far. Stop it. So what's going to waken you up? I mean, I was listening to a few people the other day that had were on the job of calling pastors, other pastors, to join this group.
Oh, okay. Doing some recruiting.
Yeah, because I was one of them being called.
Oh.
And I felt terrible because I didn't know about this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had appointments already booked with clients that I could not change their schedule.
Yeah.
So it's like I have these contracts with these different companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm scheduled on this day, and they're telling me Sunday night that I need to come down there. I'm going, but I can't move my contract. So was I wuss or not? I don't know.
Should have called one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we did. We sent out a message via the phones.
Wow.
And so that was our part. Send out the message and let people know.
Mm-hmm.
But I was hearing that some of the pastors were going, well, you know, it's my day off today, so...
See,
I really can't go.
Now that is where, you know, like for you, you were saying, hey, I've got a job lined up already. I've already committed to this one here.
Yeah.
I've got to go and do that one because it's my livelihood for one, but it's also my word. I said I would be here to do the training for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, these others were like, ah, it's my day off. Okay, now you don't have an excuse.
Yeah, no, what is your excuse?
There are no days off in this work that we're doing.
Yeah.
It's all the time.
I mean, sure, you may not have to go into your church office building and do church office work. Yes, that's your day off.
Hmm.
But You don't get a day off from your beliefs.
Yeah. Excuse me, Jesus, I can't do that.
I'm not going to believe in you today.
I'm busy today.
I'm busy.
Doing nothing, but I'm busy. So, leave me alone.
Leave me alone. So what happens when you, because in Numbers, Yahweh is calling out for the viable men to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're 20 years of older. You belong to this family. I'm calling you out. I want you to
represent your family.
Stand up and be numbered. I mean, imagine that. Okay, so even now, Yahweh makes this declaration to us. And he says, hey, oh, you guys in churches,
mm-hmm.
stand up. Be numbered. I think that's awesome. You know, I think that's really awesome. I'm kind of wondering, do I have someone else on the line with us? Is Dr. Richard with us? Just to double check. We've been trying to call Dr. Richard, has not been able to reach him, but I'm not hearing him. Okay. So let's go over some of these things. Here's a text for you guys. Let's see how you follow this on, if it makes a difference to you on being called out to be a warrior.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see how it affects you. It's in Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20.
And if you want some really good interpretation of Galatians, how about Avi's book?
I know, right? Right? That's pretty good. It's a Torah commentary
mm-hmm.
on Galatians, verse by verse.
Yeah.
Avi ben Mordecai. Read it.
Okay, so what do you got there?
Okay, it says this. My old identity has been crucified with Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. Now, this is a different translation, and it's more in the English terms. I should read it in a better one, but I thought this was interesting. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him, and now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. For the anointed one lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of Yahweh, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. Okay. Mm. So how would that, does that move you to stand up or to make a difference with anything?
I think for me, what it does for me is, just kind of reassures me that he's got my back. I mean, he's got the plan. And if I am committing to his way of life, this is what it is. This is what I do.
You ever seen this kid that comes back from joining the Marines? Okay. I mean, usually he goes into the Marines kind of flabby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kind of go lucky.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back, and he stands a whole lot taller,
mm-hmm.
seems to like the uniform he's wearing.
Okay? Yeah.
Says,
a lot
tougher.
Yet he says, yes, sir, and no, ma'am,
mm-hmm.
all those sorts of things, right?
And he's not going to pull any punches. You know, if he's asked to do something, if he's asked for an opinion, he's going to give it to you straight.
Yeah.
This is it, what I believe. Not going to. he's
careful.
Yes.
He's not going to sugarcoat anything.
Right. You know, he's not going to guard his words.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's going to, you know, possibly be some offensive words in his speech.
Yeah, but they're usually concise.
Exactly.
Okay, so all the flowery language mm-hmm. has gone away, and he's very concise. So let's read this over again from a different translation, okay? I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer that I live. But Yeshua, Christ, lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of Yahweh. For if by righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. What kind of life does this guy now have? This person that's writing this.
It's a new life.
It's a, yeah, it's a completely different okay? life.
So I have an identity that's outside of Messiah. I have an identity that's in the Messiah. Okay, so if I put on his identity, okay, what does that look like?
Well, it's gonna be completely different from where we were as just a not follower of Yeshua. The way we act, the way we speak, the way we conduct ourselves is going to have a completely different outlook and feel and appearance.
Well, let's look at the life of Messiah just a little bit. Okay? What did Messiah do? Well, he stood up to Pharisees that were not giving the proper law of mm-hmm. Yahweh. He cleansed the temple by getting rid of the money exchangers that were using people's mm-hmm. money in an unrighteous way. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He fed the hungry. He ministered, touched, viewed.
And he sat on the floor and played with children.
Yeah.
Just hang out with them.
And at times he got tough in his language.
Mm-hmm.
Any one of you who do this to a child, it's best for you to have a milestone put around your neck and thrown into the ocean.
Yep.
And so... Right?
Squirrel.
No, that's not... I don't think that's a squirrel because I think we're going in the same place. But in the bill, House bill, like these bills that come up, are we... One of the Republican senators had said this. Look, you guys, we don't hate people who want to be a transgender. In fact, they're all saying if you're an adult and you decide you want to go be perverted, fine. But when you start including a child in this, in your perversion, that's no good.
Yeah.
And we're making a statement against that.
And you're taking parents out of the lives of their children. That's wrong.
You said it perfectly.
Yeah.
Taking parents out of the lives of children.
Yeah.
It's wrong. And I think that's when we need to stand up and say, this is a sin. This is wrong. John the Baptist is one of those guys within Scripture.
Yeah.
He looked at Herod and said, you did wrong. Elijah is one of those people. At Ahab, it's you who's bringing sin onto this land.
I mean, Elijah, to the point of, you know, him praying against the gods of Baal, you know, and said, if my God is my God, he will refute you, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and thousands of them were slain. And so that's what we have to stand up to. That's what we have to admit to, that kind of faith.
So I think if we truly believe that he died for us and that he lives in us, is Yeshua a weak-hearted person?
No.
He died for sinners. Mm-hmm. And so we need to actually think about this. Let me give you another text for spiritual warfare. We've all heard this many, many times. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. In case you're saying, I've heard that many times, let's hear it again and look at these key words. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. What does that mean? We don't wrestle against people.
Other people, yeah.
But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. What kind of battle we fight?
It's a spiritual battle. What's happening is all of those, various entities, if you will, are influencing these human beings and that we think that we are fighting against.
But that human being is hooked into a spiritual influence.
Right. And they're being influenced to, you know, go down these negative routes of rejecting Yahweh's plans.
Mm-hmm. Some of these people, I don't know if you heard about this, but did you know that the United Methodist Church has now split?
Again?
Again.
They're united.
Yeah, I, I,
was hoping you'd catch on to that. The United Methodist Church. What are they splitting over? Well, right now it's
female pastors.
What?
Female pastors?
No, it's the transgender pastors that are in their midst and the gay ones. So just at their latest convention, there is a young man who stood up in full color rainbows,
mm-hmm.
yelling at the leadership. I've always wanted to be a pastor. You're not allowing me to be a pastor because I'm gay and Jesus Christ stood up for the downtrodden. And if you would stand up for the downtrodden, you would stand up for me. Now, at first glance, that sounds like almost a reasonable argument.
Except that that gay lifestyle
is a sin.
Is a sin. But details. I mean, we're just.
He loves you, sure enough.
Yeah.
He loves everybody, but he does not like what you do.
Exactly. Yeah.
In your life.
Yeah.
Well, here's the twist on this. Okay, let's see how you guys respond to this.
Okay.
And people that are listening. Here's the main argument on this undercurrent within the churches. Okay, because they have transgender preachers now standing up, doing dances on stage by the pulpit, dressed in full female dress codes.
So is it still called the pulpit at that point?
Yeah, and they're worshiping. They'll say to the transgender God of the universe, they're saying these words out loud, calling Yahweh she and all these other sorts of things. It's so blasphemic, it makes your ears just go, wow. But here's their argument. Their argument is this. God loves you. Is that correct?
Yes.
He does. Since he loved you, that means he created me this way.
No.
At first glance, it sounds, many times we tell our kids, well, God created you to be a wonderful person, right?
Yes.
And this is who you are.
It's the 1 + 1 = 3 argument.
I know, right?
You're making the wrong connection to two incoherent pieces.
Mm-hmm.
They don't belong together, and you're making it true. 1 + 1 has never made 3.
Mm-hmm. If God created me to be a transgender, then that means God would create me to be a pedophile. God would create me to be a murderer. God would create me to be a liar.
Yeah, God would create me to beat on your head on a daily basis. You know.
It's a weird argument.
Yeah.
But it sounds good at surface level because God creates.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also sin in this world, and God asks you to repent. That's the difference.
Yeah.
And Yeshua, and I think we need to be ready for this. Yes, Yeshua, he went to the downtrodden, but he didn't necessarily represent them. He still ministered to them and asked them to turn from their wicked ways mm-hmm. as well. He met with them at a dinner. Yes, he did. But then he asked them to repent and sin no more. Big difference.
Yeah.
So when you see some of these pastors standing up, I've always dreamed of being a pastor and you're stopping me. How does that sound to you, Tuck? I mean, like if I were to stand up and go,
well,
I am.
I can't say certain things on this radio. But if you're transgender, you're trying to say I'm male today, I'm female tomorrow, I would ask you straightforward, what's that thing between your legs? And if it's a vagina, it's a vagina. If it's a penis, it's a penis.
Uh-oh. Okay, Tuck.
There's one of two answers. You're either a man or you're a woman. There are no others.
There aren't any, because even years later, we all know this, that if someone's dug up from the grave, the DNA,
right,
genetic information
doesn't change.
Will tell you. But the point is this, I think we've come to this pollution of believing lies from Hasatan.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to go back to this battle of the book of Numbers, okay? The book of Numbers, can I stand up? Can I be counted in this fight against wickedness? Here's another biblical text, actually, to put into place, okay? It says this. Oh, I wonder if I can pick this up.
Super there.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. Who do we have the pleasure of speaking to?
Mr. Radio Voice.
Oh, it's Mr. Radio Voice, man. How are you, Robert Randall? It's good to hear you.
I'm doing well, guys. Hadn't talked to you in a long time. I figured I have about 10 minutes before my work starts, and I just say hello.
I thank you for saying hello. Tell us how you've been doing.
Went through some trials and tribulations for a couple months to where I wasn't doing any podcasts or any content for a while because I had a cyst in my throat, so I had to have surgery. And so I thank you for your prayers during that time. That was rough.
Well, you still sound amazing.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
So what inspired you to call in today?
I think what inspired me was the beginning of what I heard you guys talking about, that we all have a name, destiny, and calling in the body of Christ.
Yes.
And that whether that's in the church or in the world, we have a unity, a duty, and a destiny as a body to reach out to the lost, show compassion for them, show equity towards them, as the Torah says.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're not there to defend their sin. We're there to show them a better way, away
yes.
from their sin, so they can understand truly the love and the freedom that Christ Jesus gives us.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out how to balance standing up and being numbered in spiritual warfare, okay, mm-hmm. and also still bringing in the gospel. We're still kind of early within the show, but you're bringing up a really valid point. What do you do when you know something is happening? Like here in Oregon, we have a bill that's being passed right now that will stop the parental rights with their children.
Stop the parents from interfering in a child's life.
Right. And so that goes all the way down to age 10. So how do you stand against that, but yet still come into the understanding of what you're actually battling against? It's because, as we found out in Ephesians, we don't necessarily wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual darkness. So how does a believer make a stand? To bring you up to speed on this, we had a number of pastors go down to the Capitol, and they weren't there to make political motions other than a declaration. And their declaration was, this bill that you're passing, we are not going to support it. Don't ask for us to support it. Don't look for us to support it. But we will not support the taking away of parental rights. And there they were. And so our question today is, how do you balance this? Because we all know we're called to a gospel. We're all called to minister. But what do we do when we have to get firm with something, especially when it comes to children?
Well, I think those pastors made the right call. They took a stand in the fellowship of Christ's kingdom. They banded together as a fellowship
mm-hmm.
to fight evil. And much like the fantasy stories that we all love, whether it's Star Trek or Lord of the Rings or whatever, where there's a band of heroes that gets together and wins the day,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's saying that, you know, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church and that we're to occupy until he comes. And I don't mean that in the radical Seven Mountain Dominionist sense, but I think that we do have a duty to do what those pastors did, to take a stand and cry out to the Lord. I mean, I'm grieving with what's happening with the immigration thing and what's happening with our youth just as much as anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fellowship of the King, we have to unite, you know, go beyond denominational boundaries and judgments of doctrines and unite for what is in the written word.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah, I think we're called to do that. And just like, are we at the point of the John the Baptist crying out in the wilderness?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good point. Thanks for calling in, Robert. Love you.
Bless you. See ya.
Listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. Hebrew Nation, His Kingdom, His People, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. And, man, what a pleasure it was to hear Robert's voice again, calling back in for the fourth wise guy. And I just always love the comments.
Yes, it was.
Yes. I mean, his comments and his voice are just amazing. So, Robert, if you're still listening, thank you for calling in. Also, we had another text that came in. It reminded me that this bill that's currently going on in Oregon is trying to be passed. It hasn't passed officially yet. But as Aaron and I and Tuck have been talking, it's going to pass.
As long as they can get to having the vote, which that's where the sticking point has been, is the Republicans have been able to use some parliamentary tricks to not allow a vote, but as soon as those tricks run out, they'll have a vote and it'll go through.
Oh, those tricks might run out and they might have to face Yahweh, and that's why we're talking about standing up and being a warrior for Yah, because I still think there's a good chance that we can still turn this around. So the question on this next hour, what makes you a warrior of Yahweh?
And then plan B, I guess, according to your scripture that you read over there, is maybe we need to be making some more millstones.
Right.
I mean, I don't know why we need to make one. I just heard, you know, millstones need to be used is all.
I think what we still have to ask, though, according to Numbers, what's going to make you a good warrior, right?
Yeah.
So let me read you a couple more texts
and
see how you respond to these. Okay? You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of Yahweh, who is with you.
Mm-hmm.
Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. That's found in 2 Chronicles. And then in Joshua, you know, as a huge time warrior, he's the guy that stood up against all the kings, and he was right alongside Moses, right? And he said this in Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Tuck knows this one. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for Yahweh is with you wherever you go. Okay, so here's the question for everyone today. And if you want to call in, you can at 503-967-3001. You can call in at 503-967-3001. Let's see if we can get Tuck on a little bit better with this last time.
Aaron just messed with that.
He did?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's that one or not, but there's a buzz at somewhere. Hopefully it's just on our end.
Okay. So we'll try this again. What's going to make you a warrior? We have examples of warriors like Joshua,
who
stood up, Abraham, Moses,
mm-hmm.
all these people that David, okay, mighty warriors. What would make you a warrior? All right. Is it just the belief? And so we're going to take you down through a list and we're going to kind of describe these things to you. But I would think that the first thing on your list would be, what do you guys think? What would make you a spiritual warrior? Number one, what's your number one response?
A rainbow dress.
No.
Oh.
Tuck.
I love messing with Tuck.
I know, right?
Poor Tuck. I don't know. Spiritual righteousness.
Okay.
And that comes through prayer.
Yeah. See, Aaron, you'd brought this up, even with the idea. I mean, it's easy for us to go ahead and make fun of someone wearing a rainbow dress, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But in actuality, if we understand the gospel, we know that that person is being affected in their identity
of who they are.
Right.
Because in Ephesians, we know that we are son and daughter of Yahweh. We're called to be righteous, which is what you just said, and not to put on a righteousness, put on a lie. You were made to be Yahweh's, mm-hmm. not this other sort of person that you're believing that you are. So if I realize that, then I understand that I need to start praying for that person probably the first thing, or allow God to let me know when I should speak or not speak mm-hmm. to that person. So for me, the number one thing is a prayer life. What does a prayer life look like? I mean, if I were to look at Moses, what do you think his prayer life looked like? I mean, we see pictures of him always on his face.
Yeah, yeah.
We see him going up into the cloud. We see him fasting. What did Yeshua's prayer life look like?
A constant conversation with his father.
Yeah. You know, and John the Baptist is out there in the wilderness. Wonder what his look like. Well, he had no one else to talk to.
Right? Well, yeah. So, his from a distance, his probably looked like he was crazy and nuts, but that was because he was always talking with Yahweh, you know.
Yeah. So if I want to be a warrior, I think the first thing I have to think about doing, what does my prayer life look like?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, wow, hello, God, how are you? See you later. Bye. Is it that kind of prayer life? Or is it more intimate? Is it throughout the day? I mean,
well, it should be constant. I mean, it's like what Paul said, pray without ceasing. And I've struggled with that for a long time, and it's very straightforward and very simple. It's a 24/7 occupation. It's not that you have to, I mean, that there's one type of prayer to where you get down on your knees and you pray in a specific reason, but prayer life is 24/7. That's all the time. You're communicating with Yahweh in everything you do. There are many, many times in our lives to where we're not conscious of that.
Yeah.
We're just doing stuff. We're doing family stuff. We're doing work stuff. We're doing this stuff, whatever. And sometimes we're doing Yahweh stuff. Well, it's your prayer life is all the time. And everything should be centered around Him, Yeshua, Yahweh, the Ruach. And if it is, well, then you're on the right track.
Okay, let's take two of your comments and see if we can bring them around. Number one, you said righteousness. And then now you're defining prayer being continual. If I were to take some of our other texts that we just read, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces, if I take that text, could I speak out of Yah's will, just like maybe a transgender is still believing a lie?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you can be so focused on your walk and you get caught up in certain things to where it's like you're being a Pharisee, you're being a Sadducee, and you're according to the word of God. You're doing everything proper, except there's no passion, there's no feeling, there's no spiritness.
But truth is still truth, but I got to know when to speak truth, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm going to go up to someone, I got to know where God is in this picture. And if my prayer life is not centered, most likely I could give a fleshly response rather than a spiritual response, because
right.
I'm fighting against spiritual forces.
Right.
So I have to look at this person knowing that this person somewhere in their background lacks the gospel, lacks the ability to repent. Something happened that changed this person's total makeup.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't see sin as sin.
They don't see sin as sin.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying my first step, I've got to be in prayer life so I don't make a blubbering idiot out of myself.
Yeah.
As you approach someone.
Yeah. For probably most of my life, I always kind of thought of the amen at the end of a prayer as being the end. Dear Lord, da 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 da. Amen. I'm done. Move on. But it's not that. You know, it amen means something completely different than okay, I'm finished praying. Mm-hmm. You know, you're coming into agreement, you know, at that point. And the pray, when Paul says you pray without ceasing, he's not talking about that moment when you say, dear God, whatever.
Help me. Help me. My cat.
Right. Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
No, he's talking about pray without ceasing, like Tuck was saying. All the time, you're throughout your life, throughout your day, and sure, from time to time, we have that direct communication of, "Hey, I need to talk this thing through right now with you." You know, it's kind of like, you know, our relationship with our friends and family and our wives. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not talking with them 24/7 all of the hours of the day that we're awake. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're probably talking to them in our sleep, too, but that's a whole other thing.
Then we get kicked.
You're right. Stop it. I'm trying to sleep over here. But from time to time, we do either come face-to-face with them and talk with them or call them up on the phone and have a conversation with them, just as we do with our Heavenly Father.
Let's find out what David did in his prayer. Okay, so King David, he was a mighty warrior, right?
Mm-hmm.
He even had the mighty men with him.
Mm-hmm.
But he said this. This is in Psalms 32. Let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when thou may be found. You art my hiding place. You preserve me from my trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. That's his prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And then he responds after Selah. He says how God responds. God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Whoa. So if I'm thinking like this, in this prayer thing,
mm-hmm.
Okay, Father, I'm in a war. Be my hiding place. Instruct me. Guide me. Help me remember scripture. Because that's truth.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to just speak out of the top of my head. I want to be able to know scripture,
mm-hmm.
and say, this is why these things are righteous. These things are unrighteous, you know, but if I'm not in prayer life, I won't do it, which leads me to step number two in being a warrior. Do I really understand the use of intercession? So when I say intercession, what does that mean to you guys? So intercession prayer. So first off, my prayer life is there, but now I have to now I'm looking at intercession prayer. What does that look like?
For me, it's for the last 4 years, that's kind of been a question in my head of trying to understand that a little more. And I don't know that I have a good understanding outside of the kind of traditional praying for somebody else, trying to step into and being that middle person of trying to pray for somebody that's not me.
That's tough, isn't it?
Yeah. Because I don't know for sure what they want. I can have an opinion of, you need Jesus.
I know, right?
Or governor
right now.
Or, yeah. you know, they need some healing. But I don't know what is going on in their life. So I'm only looking at it from the surface, from the outside. And so trying to truly pray the right way for what it is that they need, it becomes more difficult of, I mean, almost comes down to, hey, Lord, be with that person. You know, it's like,
okay, so think of it this way, because right now we have leadership that's in spiritual darkness,
mm-hmm.
right? So if we were to take a biblical example, all right, let's take Haman in the book of Esther. Let's take King Manasseh in Israel, who is the listed as the most wicked king ever. Okay? Blood ran through the streets. But yet he repented and turned from his wicked ways. How? So if you were a person at that time,
mm-hmm.
and you knew that your king that was in charge was this terrible guy,
mm-hmm.
and you knew you couldn't fight him with a real sword, because his armies were too big.
Right. Couldn't get close. Right.
Could I intercede for him? Could I pray that way and say, Father, you deal with this person? Let me give you another text. And then I have a text that just wrote in. Behold, the eye of Yahweh is on those who fear him,
Behold, the eye of Yahweh is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness to deliver their soul from death. So we know that the ways of the wicked is death.
Right.
And we know that sin is death, and we know the commands of Yahweh are life. So those are things that we know, right?
Yeah.
So can I pray for a person's soul?
I say yes, you can, but it's like, and people would doubt this interpretation, but it's like, if I pray for somebody, I want to make certain that the Lord knows I'm aware of my shortcomings, uh-huh. and that I'm not perfect by any means, and maybe I'm interpreting this situation, this particular setting with this person a little bit off kilter, mm-hmm. not centered perfectly, but still I'm going to pray for what I think is correct, what I think is right. But I want the Lord to know that I'm aware that I have failings and that I could be off in my prayer. And then I will do my prayer.
So let's take on this current bill that we're dealing with. Not to complain anymore, but in it we're looking at kids.
This is the example. Right?
It is the example. Kids without parents can go in and have body parts removed. Okay, that's amazing.
Regardless of how much they may have full education on what that means to them.
Right.
Like, oh, hey, everybody else is doing this. My friends did this. Let's just do this. Okay.
I taught middle school.
Yeah.
Okay. I know how these kids change by the wind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They don't know what's going on.
They don't know who they are.
No.
Right.
At all.
No.
Anyone who studied children's psychology and they know what's going on, this is not fact.
No.
Little boys can say, I'm a girl today, and tomorrow they're a construction worker. I mean, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
And to have them make a life-altering decision is bad.
Yeah.
Period.
Stupid.
There's no other word for it. Yeshua said to those adults that were to damage a child, it's better for them to have a millstone put around their neck and thrown in.
That's an interesting statement, because whenever I see scriptures like that,
mm-hmm.
having a millstone tied around your neck and being thrown in the ocean is pretty bad.
Yeah, you're drowning alive.
You're not going to live mm-hmm. through that.
No.
So the other thing is worse than that. So
I'm thinking to myself, on interceding of prayer. So we had this text that came in. It says, interceding on behalf of someone else, but always in the will of Abba Father.
Yeah, that's the key, mm-hmm. is that you're in doing his will. So long as everything about your prayer has to be centered around his will.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we fail so much of the time, and that's what I have to be conscious of myself about anything that I think is important. Is it truly important, or is it just my want versus my need?
So what does that will look like? Again, we have another example. We'd see Moses, right? Moses would go ahead and bow before the king on his face, pleading for Yahweh to not kill everyone, right?
Right, yeah. He says, okay, I'm done with these yahoos. They're going off. I'm not following what I'm doing, and I'm just going to take them out. No, don't do it. Don't do it. You said, don't do it. I'm here. Okay, you're right.
But he would still do justice within the camp.
Right.
Rather than everyone, he'd may take out a few,
mm-hmm.
or he'd give some sort of disease or some sort of plague until everyone turned back and looked at him.
Right.
So does that give us a concept of how to pray right now for governmental authorities that are taking away the rights of parents?
We should be praying for them to get their lives in order.
We should be praying for the earth to open. No.
Or for Yahweh to show himself to him.
Right.
Whatever means he's going to use.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Maybe it's a plague.
Yeah.
Maybe it is opening up the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's his will, not mine.
Right.
But I'm interceding and I'm asking, look.
Bring your judgment.
Deal with this person. We have flesh, we have spirit, we have soul. We know that. So maybe it's their soul that needs to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Their flesh is maybe so weakened, they're just...
Yeah.
It'll be bad anyways. Wow. Third one that we have. Do I have a love of justice, truth, and righteousness? Do I love justice, truth, and righteousness? That's the third step of maybe being a great warrior. What do warriors think like?
Well, they understand what their role is. They understand what their job is.
Mm-hmm.
They put a lot of time and energy into understanding that.
Mm-hmm.
They do the research they need to around it, and then they go out and they fulfill that job as best as they possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Do you appreciate laws, Aaron? Do you appreciate a law? If it's a righteous law?
If it's a righteous law, yes. I was trying to figure out how to say, okay. Make sure that I was like, yeah, not every one of them, but yes.
Yes.
When they're proper, yes.
Yeah, so it would be wrong for a robber to come up, beat up an old woman that's 86, stomp on her face, take her purse, and not be charged with a crime.
Correct.
That's standing up for righteousness.
Right.
Okay? Justice.
Mm-hmm.
That man needs to be brought to justice.
Yeah.
Are we praying that way and fighting in this way when we're going into battle against people that are going against the laws of Yahweh? That's a question I got to ask.
Yeah, and my initial gut feeling right now is no. I don't think that that's where we're at. I mean, yes, some of us individually, yes. But as a nation, as a whole people, as a believing community, I don't know that we're there.
Mm-hmm. I think it's because we may be, and we've done a show on this before, we know that the Bible's the most read book in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean anything.
It's the most bought book in the world.
Right.
It's not the most read.
Correct.
It's the most bought. Yeah.
So people have the Bible on their coffee desk.
Mm-hmm. But they don't read it.
They don't read it. So that's number four, being a great warrior. Do you actually know what the manual says?
Yes. Yeah.
Or have you made up in your mind what you think the manual says?
Yeah. Separation of church and state.
Well, that's,
everybody thinks they know what that means.
No, they don't.
Nah.
Yeah.
No, you don't. Yeah. And most everybody that's out there saying that one
yep.
is wrong in how they're applying it.
Yep,
it right?
It's 1 + 1 = 3. No, you're using it wrong.
I one know, plus right? 1 = 7. Come on, Aaron.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
How did you get there? You're the math guy.
What, 1 + 1 = 7?
Yeah, right?
That's an algorithm.
It's the new math.
It's the new math.
Don't you keep up?
I know, right? You know, it's interesting that we sometimes forget that sins are listed in Scripture for a reason, to make us aware that they're sin,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If we take the concept of what's being currently preached in these churches, which is there's really no sin, but this is how you're created, it takes away the idea that I need a Messiah.
Yeah.
Okay. I was created, but I also was born into sin, as what's stated in Psalms 51.
It also takes away the fact of you have to make correction in your life that is probably going to be hard work.
Yeah. Hang tight. We'll be back.
That's not all. History, Dead Sea Scrolls, Apocryphobia, Unpopular Music, Historical Friction, Archaeology, Calendar, Comedy, The Apostle James, and The Apostle Paul. Plus, lots of guests and lots of explosions.
And don't forget your partner, Bogdan Tishunkov.
Jackson Snyder Presents is on in the red eye. 5 a.m. East Coast, 2 a.m. Left Coast. You know we're going to have a good time. Jackson Snyder Presents is a Hebrew Nation Radio original. Brought to you by the Vero Essen Yahad.
You're listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
Hey, 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 rejoice, rejoice, come on, Rooney. Hey,
we be back.
Oh. You be back.
Back again.
We both be back.
That's three again.
Yeah, last week you were not here because Avi was in, and
that's right.
And Rowan had to fill in that line for us.
I know. We both looked at each other like,
"Well, wait, Tuck wasn't here."
Just gonna say it. You know, there might be some of you listening today feeling that maybe we've gone over the line, that we're called to love and we're called to nurture and we're supposed to be accepting.
God is love.
He is love. And I get it.
But it's also judgment.
Thank you. There's justice and there's righteousness.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first. I mean, I don't have this documented. I don't know, but more than love, he's just.
Yeah.
And that's some serious judgment there.
And what I love about that is I don't get to be the judge. He gets to be the judge.
No, it's okay? His will.
It's his will.
His will be done, not mine.
But at the same time, we're asked to protect. If we were to go to the beginning of Genesis, Bereshit, man was put in the garden to tend, protect, and to cultivate.
Mm-hmm.
He had to take care of that which he was given.
Yeah.
And earth is called her. And the same thing was the same way when he brought it, when Yahweh gave him a wife, his job was to tend, care, and protect. And I would think that same context would apply to our children, to our nation, to where you live, to your house, right?
No, that's different, Roland.
Maybe.
It's all different.
Okay, so let's look at some New Testament texts because we're talking about how to be a warrior, okay? We talked about you need a prayer life, not just a superficial one, but a real one.
Yeah.
You need to understand the use of intercession. Why are we interceding?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Who are we interceding for? What does that look like? We need to love justice, truth, and righteousness so we can stand tall saying, I know what I believe.
Yeah.
We need to know our Bible. It can't just be on the corner table. We have to be able to go, you know, I know a text, and that has made sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, Psalms 51 is so reasonable. That's King David after he sinned with Bathsheba. He says, you're my judge, Father. I was born into iniquity. I'm a scoundrel. Please change my heart, oh Yah. Mm-hmm. Change my heart, oh Yah. Well, make it ever true, right?
But so many people would have only taken part of that. It's like I was born into it. It's not my fault.
That's the current philosophy.
Yeah.
Right now.
So it's not my fault. I shouldn't have to apologize. I'm just a innocent bystander of my circumstances.
And God created me this way.
Yeah.
What do you do with the fact that Yahweh gave us freedom of choice?
Okay.
Oh, so it's his fault. He gave me the chance to choose. It's his fault.
Well, let's read some texts, okay? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. Okay? Do you not know, this is in verse 9, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The unrighteous shall not. So you're
the unrighteous first, shall not.
So we got to ask the question, well, who is the unrighteous?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the obvious question?
Yes.
So he listens. He even says, do not be deceived. Okay? So here's the list. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, no adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor the homosexual, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, no swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. But now listen to what he says afterwards. And such were some of you. Some of you were like this, is what he's saying. But you were washed, but you were sanctified. You are justified in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Remember, the name of Yeshua is salvation, okay? And in the spirit of Yahweh. This is interesting for me. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Okay, so when I think of this, these sins... Notice what the common denominator is. Self.
Oh, I was going to say progressive Democrat politics, but
self. It's all about me.
Yeah.
So remember how I started off with the day in the United Methodist Church where a young man stood up in full colors?
Mm-hmm.
How dare you take away what I wanted to be my whole life?
Yeah.
See, this is a person speaking totally out of self. Okay? And he isn't repented of where he's at.
How dare the IRS take away all the money that I should be as wealthy as Bill Gates?
So listen to another one of these, because this is what I think really comes down to the wire. I'm now reading from Galatians 5. All right. I say to you, Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Or things that we want mm-hmm. to do. See, if I walk by the Spirit, I'm not going to carry out my desires, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. The flesh is saying, mm-hmm. this is what I want. And it stands against Yahweh. I want to be a thief. I want to be an adulterer. I want to be a homosexual. I want to do these things.
Yeah.
I want to go against God's original design. And the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Got that?
Mm.
So I may not do the things that I please. Wow, what a different calling.
Yeah.
This is amazing to me. These lists of sins that stop us from coming into the kingdom of heaven is all about I'm not in the Spirit. I did not crucify myself to Christ.
Yeah.
Crucifying myself to Christ means I die to the old man and put on the new man. I allow him to change my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I allow him to take my sin. I allow him to die on that tree, that cross, to cover me and to make me a new person. Wow. I think that's step number 5 in understanding how to be a warrior. Finding peace through God, because it's his Spirit that changes my heart, so I can enter the kingdom.
Right. Yeah.
But if we don't repent, everyone does what's righteous in their own eyes. I mean, think of that at the book of Judges. If we were to take the full argument of this is how I was born,
mm-hmm.
where does that stop?
It won't. Because everything could fit under that. I don't have to worry about anything at that point because none of it's my fault. It was just born this way. It's God's fault. He made me born this way.
He may be born to be a thief. He may be born to have sex with animals or be a pedophile. This is the way I am. This is what I like.
Yeah.
Well, it's not what that's the flesh speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Spirit speaking to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big difference. So does this put a new tint on how you guys think about being a warrior in this world? I mean, who are we praying against and who are we fighting for? I think that's what it comes on down to. Am I going to stand up for justice? Am I going to stand up for righteousness? At the same time, can I pray for that person who is deceiving others? And how do I pray for them?
Yeah.
That gets to be a hard question, because I don't know about you guys, but I struggle with that. These people who want to mutilate children.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard not to hate.
Right?
That's not our job. It really isn't our job. It's his job, because he can do it perfectly. We can't. We get all our vengeance and our anger involved, and that doesn't do anybody any good.
But can we speak out forthright? I mean, like, take for instance, if I use the examples of Elijah and John the Baptist and David, many times they stood up and they spoke.
Yeah.
Well, they're for sure wrong.
But as far as leading the cause to do somebody harm, it's not good.
Right, you know? Yeah.
Even though it may be called for, it's not our job, it's his job.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah, so... We need to be able to pray for a person's salvation, even when they don't deserve it.
Yeah, so that's how do we live out our life in that when we come in proximity to some of these people who we know are not in line? Do we not associate with them? You know, do we avoid being around them?
That's the hard one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, because it would seem that if you work at trying to not fix them, but at the very minimum, you should be praying for them.
Yeah.
You know, and if you are led through prayer to do something physical, and thereby that would probably be against your wishes.
Mm-hmm.
But really, God, you want me to do that? You know, I was praying for them, sure, because that's a smart thing to do. But you want me to do what? You know, and that's, mm-hmm. you know, and that's where he'll call us to account, you know, and that's to where if you're going to be faithful to me, be faithful to me.
But maybe this is the reason for prayer. Maybe this is why Yeshua, after being in the midst, or even the disciples, would go to a quiet place and pray.
Yeah.
Okay, because the sin kind of rub off. Let me give you an example. I mean, this was so funny. I was in this gym working out, and the next at night at 1 a.m., I wake up, and I can't swallow. My throat is burning like I got a fire torch down my throat.
Wow.
You know, and Angie takes a look at it, shines a light down. She's a nurse, and she looks at it and goes, I think you got strep throat. And I go, strep throat? I've never had strep throat. What's up with that? You know?
Yeah.
And so we prayed over it, and we did some of our homemade stuff that we love to do, all the natural stuff, and I was fine in a day. You know? And typically, they'll take 7 days. But we watched how we defeated it. And we defeated it by taking a proactive stance against it, both spiritually and physically. We just fought it. All right? So it reminded me of this text. It's found in 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So you'd ask the question, do I be around them? Mm-hmm. Well, Yeshua and his disciples were around evildoers.
Right.
Okay? We know that Satan's going to want to take that spirit that's on the evildoers and see if he can just sneak it on you, kind of like strep throat.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I put this on you? And it's like afterwards, when you're done with all that, it's like I got to go get myself showered off and cleaned up.
Yeah,
okay?
Right.
So we're called to bring in this gospel, but at the same time, I'm called to be alert. I'm called to be sober. I'm called to know that the devil seeks to destroy me. So does that help us in the idea of how I hang around someone? Can I spread the gospel without being polluted by them? Can I do that?
If you're conscious at all times.
If I'm sober and alert.
Yeah.
I mean, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but it's against spiritual darkness. So right. I can look at that person as a person in the flesh, but I also know that that flesh is being affected by that person's spirit. And who does that spirit, who is their master?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If their master is Satan, I know, oh, shoot, okay, I need to be careful, but I need to love, I need to pray, I need to be an intercessor, I need to be strong in knowing what I believe.
Yeah.
So, wow.
So take this one step further. I don't know if we want to go there this late, but do we still go shop at Target now, who is selling literally satanic shirts for children?
You've seen those? Isn't that amazing?
I haven't. My wife did. She went in just recently, and it was a display right at the entrance, and these kids were in this you know, genderless, satanic shirts and stuff. It was like, it just blew her away. She came home and she's like, are we done at Target? You know.
I love Corinthians because Paul's writing to the church in Corinth
mm-hmm.
that is constantly dealing with immoral things.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Imagine that, a church dealing with immoral things.
Well, it's not just the church, but it's a church within an immoral society.
Yeah.
okay? And so I'm looking at this, and you have these things. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 8:4. Well, let's go to 8:2. Sorry.
I was waiting for that one.
If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. Isn't that a great intro?
So he thinks he knows, but he really doesn't yet.
But if anyone loves Yahweh, he is known by Yahweh. Okay, so if I love him, he's known.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then he goes, therefore, concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world and that there is no God but one.
Right.
So he's already making this distinction. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, or indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there's only one, the Father, whom are all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, Messiah, through whom all things are, and we exist through him. However, not all men have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Now, if I take this concept, Paul, in short, is saying, all things are lawful to eat. God's greater than this food that's being offered to the idol.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. If I'm going to be eating this food, I'm still loving God more than this idol. That idol doesn't have power over me.
Right.
All right? Now, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to be a stumbling block to another believer who has a weaker mind.
Okay.
So that food was offered to an idol, therefore you shouldn't eat it, therefore, you know, you get the picture.
Oh, no, that person's lost, they ate the thing, and it,
right.
I get it.
Okay, yeah. And you're probably thinking right now, well, Ron, how does that even apply to the target scenario?
Well, it applies to where, in this particular case, the one you referred to, your wife,
mm-hmm.
Jennifer, she went there and saw this despicable display of evil, and it struck her, and she knew, it would appear to me, that she knew in her heart that she couldn't be there anymore.
Right.
And to say, to bring that upon anybody else, to say you cannot shop at Target because of this, that only applies to Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be recommended that you consider this for mm-hmm. your own sakes. Go there and check it out just to see. If it affects you the same way, fine. If it doesn't affect you, fine.
Yeah.
It's not going to change how I feel about you, but that's the way I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, what if Target is the only place to buy clothes?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was one of our arguments, too. It's like,
then what do you do?
Yeah.
Okay, so in Corinth, many of these foods were given to idols and then brought out into the public arena to be purchased at the grocery store.
So it's been sanctified by way of the idols and then sold to this guy.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so Paul's having to deal with this. Yeah. And these are the very questions that Christians are answering even back then. Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
I mean, so if I know that I'm in love with Yahweh, is Yahweh greater than this idol? Answer, yes.
Yes.
Okay. So now where do I put the balance? Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to go out of my way to go, hallelujah, I can hardly wait to go eat food offered to an idol.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay? But we got to cleanse it by his spirit and by his power.
Right.
Saying, Father, this is the only food I have.
And at the very, very minimum, you should pray over your food to take away the curse.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
If you do nothing else,
and just don't buy the T-shirt with the satanic symbols on
it. Stay away from the T-shirt. Yeah. It doesn't take a whole lot of brains to figure that out.
No, it doesn't.
You know, but yeah, I agree. Wonderful example of how we apply Scripture even to today.
Mm-hmm.
So our question for all of you is: how are you going to be a warrior in the upcoming weeks, months, and I don't know, maybe years? Where we have to start making a stand. Would love to know your thoughts.
And that's the same. This is, if I let it would frustrate me, but I won't let it. But it says, we wonder about how we should be in these days to come.
Mm-hmm.
If we're searching for Yah's will, live righteously, mm-hmm. regardless. You know, don't prepare for the end. Live how you've been living. Live righteously. Do the proper things. Don't change how you're living. Live Yahweh's will for your life.
Which is why I love how the book of Numbers starts off.
Yeah.
stand up and be counted.
Yeah.
I follow Yahweh.
Right.
This is what I do.
Right. Always have, always will.
Yeah. You know? He's my commander in chief.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
There are things I don't understand. Maybe one day I will. We're hoping for the best.
I love how simple that actually gets. We would love to know your thoughts about today. Okay, so you can write into us at the number 3
wise guys
at HebrewNation.net. You guys got it. That's the number 3
wise guys
at
HebrewNation.net.
Where are you in this picture? What are you going to do when laws start changing and your rights are being taken from you as a parent? Or maybe your rights are being taken away from you as a believer?
Or as a freestanding American?
Or as a freestanding American? Yeah. Are these rights anyways? Are these rights even something you need to be concerned about?
And maybe it's going to happen anywhere. It's not just Oregon.
Yeah.
Not just California. Not just Missouri. It's everywhere.
It'll happen everywhere.
Yeah.
Are you ready for it? And how are you going to deal with it? That's a big question. If you want to get on Hebrew Nation Radio and share this with other people, please do. It's Hebrew Nation Radio Online. You can go there. You can see the many teachers that have podcasts being done. One of our latest teachers, Avi Ben-Mordecai, has been doing a series on the Zadok priesthood. We would encourage you to really look that up and find out what that's about. He has 22 podcasts out on just that.
What's the average length of a podcast? An hour?
About 50 minutes.
Oh,
yeah.
50 minutes.
Yeah, 50 minutes.
So a small topic.
Yeah. It's And why he's bringing this up is that the Zadok priests were the ones that actually ministered to Yahweh and cleansed the temples. So they had a job. And I think it's going to be relevant to us today. Do we minister and do we cleanse our temples? Look it up. Avi Ben-Mordecai, Hebrew Nation Radio Online, and look up the podcast for the Zadok priesthood. You can also find this show in about 2 days on the 3 Wise Guys. Just go down to the schedule. Scroll down to the Wise Guys on Tuesdays every 8 a.m. morning and go to the right side and look up Learn More. Hit that button. You'll find us.
The darkness must flee from the living word. His light.